Rotov world. Today's daf in Masechet Kiddushin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Vav, and we are holding on line 3. Tana Rabbanan. We talked about yesterday the various ways in which you have to be careful in enunciating what it is that you're saying in terms of Gittin or in terms of Kiddushin, that it needs to be Ki Yikach. Not that he's taking himself, he's making himself her husband. Rather, he is taking her as a wife. That same thing is true of the Gerushin. The Shilcha means that he is not getting rid of himself. In other words, I'm out of this relationship. It's rather that he is ending her relationship with him. So once we already opened up with the differences in these various Lishonot, Gemara already wants to know what exactly is precisely the language of Ishus? Because we also have to be absolutely careful that the type of Lakicha that we're talking about is a Lakicha for the purposes of Kiddushin. I mean, there's all types of other things that a person may mean. He may mean to hire a maid for that reason, for that matter, or to buy himself services of a prostitute. I mean, how do we know that he's referring to Kiddushin specifically? That's the question. It's an Arabic. There are various different ways of phrasing marriage. You could say, Hareat Ishti, with this money, or Hareat Arusati, or Hareat Knuyali. All of those are Lashonis, clearly, that fit with the way that we've been talking about until now. How about Hareat Shali, Hareat Birshuti, Hareat Zikukali? Same language that we use for a Yivoma, that she's already Zikukolo, she already has this relationship with him. This is also good enough for Mekudeshet. Ask the Gemara, what you just had 3 plus 3 things, both of which are Mekudeshet. You could have simply put them all together and have a list of 6 things that are Mekudeshet. Why'd you split them up like this? Because the Tana tlat tlat sham inu begarsinu. The Tana was koveya the learning as he learned it. So he'd originally been Mekabalist from his Rebbe, the first 3, and he sat down and memorized it in that fashion, and then later on, some time had elapsed, maybe a lot of time had elapsed, when he learned these other 3 Lashonos. And always we find that the Gemara maintains a loyalty to the way that the learning was given over in the first place. How about these other strange Lashonos? Suppose you use a language of miuchedetli. You're special for me. Miuedetli. You are meant to be mine. Same lashon of yiud that we find. Now, the point of all of these are that if you analyze the lashonos of the psukim, we do in fact find each one of these things utilized as a concept of relationship with a woman. Miuchedet means gayula basar echad. So that is, we should become one. Miuedes is the lashon that we find for an odin taking an oma ivriya. So asher lo yada vehevda. Or how about these other Lashonos, all of which are remuzim to the way that marriage is discussed in Gan Eden? Ezrati. Oh, Eselo Ezer Kenegdo. So what about that? Negdati, Kenegdo. She wants to stress, I'm against you. But okay, but that's also, that's part of, obviously, that's literally Kenegdo. Also would mean juxtaposed, right? So how about that? Is that a lashon on its own of Kedusha? How about Atsurati? Now, let's skip Atsurati for a moment because it's a little bit complicated. Let's go to the other ones. Tzalati. So Tzela is Adam's rib, was the way that Kedusha was referred to. Vayizgor basar tachtena. That follows the creation of Isha. Segurati. Mahu. So all of these lashonos, including the tachtena. What about that? Tachti, you are that which is tachtenu. And how about tefusati, that I've grabbed you? Lekuchati, that's lashon of ki yikach ish isha. So all of these words are clearly references to ideas in psukim or words that clearly mean something that has to do with kedushin. Now, getting back to what about atsurati? See, we got a little bit of a problem. Because Atsura could mean like, you know, Atzeret. Shmini Atzeret, Yom HaShvi Atzeret, Yelachem. Atzeret means stick with me, you know? And be with me in the home. Like we talk about Shmini Atzeres, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, please stay with me an extra day. I don't want you to leave. Kashalai pridatchem. So it could be that lush. Now Rashi says that Atzurati is, according to his Rabbeim, but he disagrees, but according to his Rabbeim, the Lashon of Atzurati continues on the idea that we have found in every single one of these, that there's some remez in a pasuk. Now, what about Tfusati? Tfusati, we don't find is a remez in a pasuk. Well, we do, at least according to some of the Balei Tosfos, because the Tfusati, Shachav ishota shichvat zera, v'hi lo nitfasa. So v'hi lo nitfasa would therefore have to do with grabbing a woman for sexual purposes. V'hi lo nitfasa. Okay. But what about this atzurati? So Rashi's Rabbeim suggests that remember when it was that David had come and he was running away from Shaul and he comes to Achimelech and he says, we're all starving over here, and I'm on a secret mission, and you got to get me something to eat. And so Achimelech says, well, we don't have anything to eat other than the actual lechem aponim. So, but I mean, that's Hegdash. So he says to David, im nishmuru ha-ne'arim ach mi'isha, if your boys have not been with any women, because otherwise they would be tame, and they wouldn't be allowed to eat Hegdash, right? So David HaMelech answers them, well, Isha Atzura lanu mitmol shosham, and that seems to mean, I mean, the Pashtus is Rashi Tanis, Isha Atzura lanu means we haven't been near any girls for the past few days, right? Mitmol shosham. So Rashi says, how could Atzura mean over there a lotion of being with a woman if it means Atzura mimenu, that we weren't with any women, right? So it doesn't support the contention of Rashi's Rabbeim, so therefore he just expresses it as a lashon, not in a pasuk. Tosfos suggests, however, that the Rabbeim are actually right. And what David HaMelech was saying is that it's true that we were sleeping with women before, but that was 2 or 3 days ago. That was the Tmol Shilshom. Now, on the surface, that sounds a little bit weird, because what's it Achimelech's business whether they were sleeping with women or not? The question is whether now they are Torah. So why, he could just say, no, we haven't been with a woman since becoming Torah. So I'm just thinking that maybe the issue is that Achimelech was Cheshesh. Remember, I mean, this is before, obviously, we had all of the chumras that have to do with Hegdash, so that a normal person was considered to be Tamei automatically, unless he was a Chover, right? It was before all of those takonas. But perhaps David understood that Achimelech's question was that maybe these boys haven't been all that careful, and maybe they're Balei Keri, they didn't pay any attention to it, and therefore I want to make it very clear that, you know, we're worried about this because this is Hegdash meat. So therefore David was saying, no, we were actually fooling around with women. And therefore, since it's been a couple of days, we knew that we were Tameh, and therefore we are now Tars. He was reassuring him that there weren't any mistakes made. Maybe that's how Tosfos is understanding it. But anyway, that way all of the Lashonas would be from Psukim. And that, Tosfos feels, is more consistent. So what about all of these Lashonas? I mean, do they make sense to a woman when she hears these words? I mean, these are clearly words about Kedushin or what? Well, we can at least have a riot to one of them. I don't know about all the others. But pshot miyachot. The Tanya ha'omer l'kuchati ha'rezu mekudeshet b'shum shenemar ki yikach ish isha. That's the one that is most directly nogea v'limudim that we just had. Okay. Now the question is, what about if you use the lashon of charufati? Now remember that we have in the Torah a concept of a shivcha, charufa le'ish. Now we're assuming that the meaning of the charufa, remember it's a big machlokas, is a shivcha charufa, chatzi shivcha v'chatzi bashorin, and she is actually mikudeshes, and except she's not fully mikudesh because she's chetzi, not shayach to kiddushin. And so because of that, there is a special kula. If somebody sleeps with her in that context, or he's not chayv as an eshes ish, but still, he has to bring the korban of shivcha charufa and so on. So then the question is, he shivcha necherefet leish sounds like there is some level of kedushin. So if he says, you are my charufa, that would mean that you are especially mine for the purposes of ishes. What would be the din of that? Tashma. The Tanya ha'omer charufati v'kudeshet shekein biyuda korim la'arusa charufa. Actually, it says over here something very weird, that if somebody uses the word charufa, it is a lashon of kedushin, because in Yehuda, they use that as a synonym for eris. So, who cares? Yehuda aviruba the alma? Well, all of a sudden the world is Yehuda. It sounds like a New Yorker over here. Like, since in New York they say this, it must mean that's what it means. That's ridiculous. So, what is this brisa saying? No. It means omer charufati mikudeshet, because of what we just talked about. You know, it says in the pasuk, "Yishivcha necherefet leish." That's the point. And not to mention the ode, Yehuda, they actually call an arusa charufa based on this. And this, so now I'm bringing a raya from New York to a pasuk. I understand. Either the pasuk is persuasive or it's not persuasive. What are you adding? And I have an additional point. Not to mention. Well, if not to mention it, don't mention it, darn it. Not to mention. So why do we need an extra raya because of Yehuda? Yehuda is an extra raya to a pasuk? No. So therefore, the meaning of the braita must be different than we thought. That actually, Archikama, Omer Charufa B'Yehuda Mekudeshet, only in Yehuda, because we were wrong. The truth is that we're going over here, according to the Mandi Omar, that the pasuk does not mean a chatzi shivcha chatzi baschorin. It means actually a shivcha kina'anit, where there is no kiddushin, and the necherefet le'ish is simply the fact that she was miyuchedet for an eved ivri, and an eved ivri is allowed to be sleeping with a shivcha. So it's no raya at all to the concept of kiddushin by a bas chorin, right? And therefore, the only reason that this would be a language of kiddushin is if in that area, so you said this in Yehuda, and you tell a woman that I'm giving you this money to be charufati, that's clear that in that area, it's a synonym for kedushin, because in Yehuda, she can be rekorin la'rusa charufa. Now, we got all of these different words. Some of them we're sure of. Others we weren't sure of, or you left them hanging. Can you please tell me, what are we talking about? Are we talking about that he just said those words to her? So, I mean, what's the case? How the heck is a normal girl supposed to know what this guy is talking about if she hasn't learned Masechet Kiddushin and he's talking about Tachtai and Negdati? What's with this weirdo? I don't know what he means. I have no idea what he's talking about. So how would that be a lashon of kedushin to her? I mean, it's all very nice. You're bringing me some kind of, you know, college degree that this would mean based on, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about her acceptance of kedushin. So a guy, Stam, walks over to somebody and says, you know, you should be my negdati. What that means. So if he hasn't been discussing her with her elements of kedushin, so B'shein Medabrim Ali's Kegita, or the same question, of course, arises in the essence of the get, if she doesn't know what this get means. So if he was not discussing this in advance, at least she understands what's going on. So I mean, now Yada Mai Carmela, how does she know what he's talking about? Ella, what are you talking about? A case where he was talking with her in advance, and she was expecting him to actually finally come out with it, you know, either the Iskegita or Kiddushia. So then he didn't have to say anything, because the halacha is that afagav de lo amala, even though he didn't say a word, he just walked over to her and he gives her this. Since previously it was clear that he was intending to marry her or to divorce her, he wouldn't have to say anything. That's none. Hayamidaberi mishalis kegita v'kidusha. A person who's been talking with a woman about divorce or talking with a woman about marriage, and he gives her respectively a get or kedushin, and he didn't say a word. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Dario, that's fine. He doesn't say anything. It's very clear contextually from the whole discussion before. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, you always have to be mefarish at the time that you are giving the Kedushin or the Git. That's enough, and we pass about Rabbi Yossi that it's enough. Halacha Rabbi Yossi, you don't say anything. So make up your mind. Are we talking about that he was talking with her? She doesn't even have to say anything. Are we talking about that he didn't talk with her? So how's she supposed to know what he's talking about, even though technically it may mean it? But the truth is, says, well, of course, it only is relevant in a case where he was speaking with her in advance on his Kikita Vigadusha. The truth is that Rabbi Yossi is 100% correct. Had he walked over to her, and after having this discussion, he would have handed her a beautiful ring, well, it would have been clear. He's giving me this ring in order to engage me, real engagement, meaning in terms of heresy. Or he's obviously giving me this as a get, because we've been discussing a get, right? That's if he didn't say anything. But now he's saying something. What a weirdo. I don't know. What is he saying? What is he talking about? You're going to be Ezra T. So maybe he's thinking of marrying me, but first he wants an Ozeret, you know, for the house to clean for him. And he wants to see how well I clean. I don't know what this guy's thinking. So if it would mean Kedushin, then at least it fits. But don't you see, it's worse to say something that's ambiguous than not say anything at all, right? Because according to Rabbi Yossi, the context is a very good definition of what's going on, but not when you contradict the context by saying something weird. And she doesn't know what you mean. Maybe you're saying, well, we've been thinking about getting married. I really want to see how well you do floors, you know? So in that case, I wouldn't really know. That's the point. So what we're saying is that we're talking about that he did give her this. He had been talking with her. And he said these lashonas. So that's our question. Well, what we want to know is, are these lashonas still consistent with Kedushin? Or maybe they're more consistent with her hiring her to do floors. Let's get to that machlokas of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Gufa. Rabbi Yossi, we said that there's no need to say anything else. Dial. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tzarich Lefarish. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shmuel. Now, let me make one thing very clear. What we're talking about over here, according to Rabbi Yossi, that you don't need to say anything. That is where you were still involved in that conversation. You had spoken with a girl a year ago, you know, and now you walk over and give her a ring. I mean, that's not dial, no. But if you were still having this conversation up until the time that you handed her the ring, so then you don't need to say anything about this ring is for your Kedusha. Obviously, it's for my Kedusha. I mean, we're talking about that, right? Now, the fact that this is a machlokas amoroyim, you need to know that this was a much earlier machlokas. It's actually ketanoi. Rebbe Omer, who sha'asukim b'oto inyan, and Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon Omer, afa pi she'ein asukim b'oto inyan, they don't have to be involved at all. What is that supposed to mean? He loved asukim b'oto inyan. They haven't been talking about marriage. How is she supposed to know what any of this means? Like we said before, minayot my karma law. Om Rabbaye, it doesn't mean that they weren't talking about it. They were talking about it. So let's say, over the past few months, they've been talking about marriage, right? And today they have this conversation about how many kids do you like? Or what type of furniture do you think we ought to get? But something like that. Things that have to do with marriage, but aren't directly about let's get married. So if it's the inyan, le inyan, boto inyan, it's talking about that they didn't actually discuss marriage, but they were talking about obvious relation to marriage issues. That's the point, and that's the machlokas over here. Omer Rav Omer Shmuel, well, we paskin like Rav Yossi. Omer le Rav Yemai lo Rav Ashi, that this psak that you have to be speaking about this up until the time, and that if you're not saying anything at all, it's perfectly okay. I mean, all of this stuff. We know that there's a very powerful statement that was made by Rav Yemai Omer Shmuel, that if you don't know everything you need to know about Gittin and Kedushin, don't get involved with it. If you know, what do you think? You're going to look in the Mishnah Berurah and you're going to paskin halacha of Gittin and Kedushin. Man, you're up the creek without a paddle. I mean, do you understand how serious a small mistake can be where you're dealing with something? Maybe you'll be matronacious ish to the world or I mean, this is mu'uvat lo yuchal litkon, you're going to be marba mamzerim. You know, oh, I never knew that. Gee, thank you very much. You should have kept your fat mouth shut. So therefore, don't have anything to do with something that you don't know anything about. So, I mean, when you're saying that, does that include even this? We're talking about things that, I mean, like, how often is this kind of thing going to occur? A guy is like speaking about something to a woman, and then he gives her a ring, but he doesn't give her the ring by saying anything. I mean, is that really one of the things that you need to worry about? And therefore, if your rabbi doesn't pass his bechina on Gittin by knowing this halacha, he's out, or you have to tell him these things to make sure that he knows them. Is this included? So, afilo shmi alei hadar ravuna amar shmua, that we paskin like Rav Yossi, amalei einach inami. Absolutely. By the way, you'd think, I mean, as Rashi says, this is not such a normal kind of situation. Unfortunately, this is an extremely normal contemporary situation and comes up all the time, horrifically, because people that are speaking about Kedushin, and the guy gives her a gift. He gives her a ring. He gives her a gift. According to Rav Yossi, that is indicative of a Kedushin. It would be Machayev the need for a divorce. The people had no idea that this was a Kedushin, right? So now, all of a sudden, they find out they need to get divorced, even though they never knew that they were married. And this comes up surprisingly often, even in high school situations. So, therefore, of course, you need to know this halacha. Enoch inami. Okay, then we had the Loshonis of Gerishin, the Chen Begerishin, Natan Lagitav Amal, Areat Mishulachat, Areat Megureshet, Areat Muteret, Bechol Adam, Arei Megureshet. So let's examine some of the ambivalent language that would be the equivalent when it comes to Gerishin. We just talked about a lot of strange terminology that it could be used for Kedushin. What would be the equivalent strange terminology that might be used for Git? So let's say, Natan Lagita, Amar La Ishto, Hare At Bat Chorin. You are free. What is that supposed to mean? Lo Amar Klum. This means he wrote in the Get, says Rashi. You are a Bat Chorin. I mean, of course he's a Bat Chorin. What does that have to do with marriage and divorce? That's a meaningless statement. That's something that you say to a worker, to an Eved, to a Shivcha. What does that have to do with your wife? And on the other hand, if you would say to a shivcha, "Hare at muteret l'chol adam," which is the normal lotion of a get, it's also a nonsensical statement. Lo amar v'lo klum. Lo klum means it's not even a question of reyach haget. It's completely meaningless. Now, my question is like this. Suppose you say to your wife, "Hare at la atzmeh." You're on your own. So what does that mean? Does that mean limlacha, meaning you no longer have to provide me with your salary or don't have to do the work in the house? I mean, like, what does that smeich mean? Oh, dim legamri karmel. Maybe he means totally, you know, you're on your own in terms of all of our relationship. Amalei Ravina Ravashi, I'll bring you a raya. Because when it comes to a get shichur, the lashon of a get shichur is hareata ben chorin, or hare atala atzmecha. Now look, this language of hare atala atzmecha, if it's good enough to be a get shichrur, and that's an evet knani, you literally own the person. And when you say hare atala atzmecha, it means totally. It doesn't mean you won't have to work any longer. It means you're a free man and you can marry a bat chorin. Whoa. So then if that's the case, a woman where you have absolutely no kinyan of her bodily, so lo kol shekein, it's an overall description of you are totally on your own and able to do. You think I haven't noticed Ari's little cups? Is that what you think? I just don't want a second Barnea here. So if I'm going to start encouraging Ari by responding, I'm going to really be in trouble. Okay, but I figure Ari really cares. So I'll drink. Thank you. At least drink with me, man. Okay. So it should be a kol shekein. Omer le Ravina le Ravashi. Well, how about if you tell your Eved Ainli Eset Becha, my. Once we're talking about Lashonis of Gerishin, and we know that we have the same dinim when it comes to the inyan of a get shichur, similar to a get yishan. We learn one out from the other, right? So, but obviously, contextually, the elements are very, very different. So what if you would use a lashon for an eved, and you would say, Ainli Eset Becha? Well, what does that mean? Does that mean you are basically, I no longer have any claims on you, you are completely free of my control? Or does he mean, Ainli Eset Becha? Does it mean you're such an idiot, you can't do anything right, I don't have anything to do with you, thank you very much, don't bother? But then he's certainly not freeing him, right? So maybe he's just saying, Dilma la malacha ka omar. Omle Rav Nachman Rav Ashi, Omle Rav Chanan Michozal Rav Ashi, I will bring you a beautiful proof. Now remember what the din is, that if somebody sells his eved to a goy, the halacha is that he's got to buy that eved back. And when he buys him back, he has to also give him a get shichrur. Can't buy him back to work with him. And even if he has to pay 10 times as much as he made on him, he's going to have to pay that much and buy him back. Plus, he has to give him a get shichrur. And the moment that he sells him, he is actually, at that point, usher to be working with him ever again. This is all a knas mirabbana. Now, he needs a get shichrur, as it says, tzarich get shichrur mirabo rishon, in order to ever be mutter for a bat chorin. Now, if, however, Amr Shimon ben Gamliel, Lamed varim amurim, when does he need a separate get shichrur? That is only shelo katav alav ono. Avo katav alav ono, zeo shichrura. If he wrote standard sale of an eved language, and that is that these goyim, they figure that these avodim, you know, they're basically like Jews. I mean, they keep Shabbos and stuff like that. The guy's probably going to run away, go back to his previous master. So what did they insist be included in a bill of sale of an eved? So the lashon of the bill of sale, which is called an on, is hechidami ono. Amr of Sheshes, they have to include in the bill of sale, and if you run away from this guy, I have nothing to do with you. Ainli Eset Becha. So, and that's enough, says Rav Shimon Gamliel. You will not need to give him a get shichrur. So what does that mean? It means that Ainli Eset Becha is the full equivalent of a get shichrur. And so there's your answer. If you say Ainli Eset Becha, it is essentially shichrur. Amr Abaye. Hamikadesh b'milva, ena mekudesh. If you use a loan to be mekadesh a woman, that would not be a good kedusha. So, in other words, let's say you've already made her a loan, and you say, okay, you know what? Instead of paying me back the loan, how about we get married? And I will forgive the loan. No, that's not kedusha, because we said, Kicha kicha mistei Ephron. Kicha kicha mistei Ephron means there has to be a transference of money in order to make the sale. So it's not just a question of paying. Paying is not a kinyan. The kinyan of kesef is the actual transference of the kesef. So say, okay, so I've paid you. Thank you very much. All right, so now let's do a kinyan. You want to buy a field from me by being mochel alone. That's perfectly okay. But you're still going to have to make chazok on the karka, do some kind of kinyan on the karka, maybe even hand over a penny. So we often have things like that. You make a contract based on $1, transferred for $1, fine. But whatever it is, there needs to be an act of kinyan besides the payment. So over here, you were mochel alone. All you did was pay her. But paying is not kinyan. Very important to remember that. So we finally got to the point where we're the clarification of that issue. However, if you were Mekadesher with the benefits or the pleasure of a loan, then she is Mekadesher. But you can't do that because it is very much looks like, or actually is, we'll see some of Rashi and Taisvis, Haramas Ribis. It's like you're getting away with Ribit. So what in the world is this talking about? When you say, The benefit of a loan, what's the benefit of a loan? Hechidam. I mean, what I think it means, but it sounds like it means, is that when somebody makes a loan to you, there's first of all the loan itself, but then there's also the fact that this loan is very much a pleasure for me. I needed this money and I needed to have it now. Well, there's a price tag on that. It's called interest. That's exactly what interest is. Make me a loan and I will pay you for making me a loan, right? So that's what boils down to the nature of interest. So now, in this case, it sounds like he is being kona her with the value of the loan, which means with the interest of the loan. What interest? I mean, did he charge her interest? Did he set up the loan originally with interest? So, hayanat milvayal kidav. Can you explain what you mean exactly? Ilema da askifa diomalar baba kamisha. That initially, he actually had defined the loan as interest bearing. So he lent her $4 and he said she has to pay back $5, which that extra $1 was basically the pleasure of the loan, which we call interest. But okay, you want to be nice about it. You want to call it the pleasure of a loan. I mean, I mean, if that's the case, that is interest. I got news for you. I mean, so what are you telling me? It looks like interest. It is interest. She is basically giving herself over to him as a wife, as interest on a loan. Why isn't that interest? So that doesn't make sense. I mean, so that is pure ribit. And besides, why is it any different than the loan itself? Basically, she needed to pay back $5. And now he said, you only need to pay back $4. So, okay, this is the same as the money. She already got the money and she's not getting anything in exchange. Just she doesn't have to pay. We said that that's not a kinyan. That's a milva. So that can't be what it means. No, indeed, says the Gemara, it does not. What Abaya was referring to when he said the hana'a of a loan was where the guy said, you know what? Instead of your paying me back the loan like you were supposed to at the end of the month, how about if you actually pay me back at the end of 5 years? So let me ask you something, he says to her. What would you pay someone, a friend of mine, to go over to me and to persuade me to allow you to keep this money for another 5 years? Would you pay $1 for that? So that's a certain value of hana'a? Fine. So with that money that you would have paid my friend, I'm going to ask you to be my wife. Now that's not the, I'm not actually extending the loan in exchange for your becoming my wife. No. I am providing a service that could have been provided to you by anyone else to persuade me to extend the loan. And therefore, that value of what it means to you to persuade me to extend the loan, that is what it is I want you to be mekudeshet with. Now that, even though it's not literally ribit, however, it's haramat ribit. So it looks like ribit, and therefore it would be us. That's how Rashi understands it. Tosfos says that that is a sophistry. There's no difference between, the only difference between true ribit and this is basically the fact that the ribit was not defined initially as ribit. You're going to pay me X plus for X. That's the only reason, but it is literally ribit de Rabbanan, and that would be the only difference, right? So because of that, Tosfos says that is the reason, and that means it's not, it's literally not ribit actually at all, even midrabanan. Tosfos says, no, it is ribit midrabanan. Oh, my Rav, suppose, and this is fascinating, let's talk about the idea of kiyikach. We said that he has to give the money, and he has to say that I am taking you for a wife. Now, all of that sounds very black and white, but it's not black and white. Because let me talk about a case like this. A guy gives money to someone, and he says, take this money on condition that you give it back to me. And with the money that I'm giving to you, on condition that you give it back to me, I am buying your field. Well, when it comes to buying a field, it's not going to work because there was no transference of value. You're just giving him money and he has to give it back to you. So then you haven't given him anything. If you're talking about making a woman your wife, not a good condition. You can give her anything. Isha ain't a kedusha. If you try to pay Barnea for a pidyon haben with this, Barnea wasn't born yesterday. He drinks hot drinks on Matzah Shabbos. And obviously, he's going to say, no. I mean, you haven't given me anything. So therefore, the pidyon haben ain't been opadui. But when it comes to truma, now this is interesting. So you want to give Barnea truma on condition that he gives the truma back to you. Well, I mean, then you gave him the truma, and fine, what he does afterwards doesn't change anything. Nowhere does it say you have to give him the truma in a way that he gets to keep the truma forever. So that would be okay, but it's also to do that. Why? Because a Kohen that encourages you inappropriately to give him your truma is considered to be a violator of the chashivas of the truma, of the kedusha of truma, and that is called, in Gavi language, Kohen HaMisayeya BeBeit HaGiranot. So a Kohen who comes along and he goes to the threshing floor and he rolls up his sleeve and he works with you and he's like such a helpful guy. And then when it comes time to give truma, you say, gosh, this guy was so good, you know. I'm not going to give it to any other Kohen. I mean, he's worked his best days for me. I'll give it to the Kohen. So that is called the Kohen HaMisayeya BeBeit HaGiranot. Well, this Kohen is essentially doing that. He's agreeing to your nonsense that he'll give you back the truma if you give him the truma. Oh, hold on a minute there. So how many Kohenim are you going to get to agree to a deal like that? So since he's giving you a service, you're going to be able to get your truma back. That is terrible. So you're not allowed to do that. But anyway, something is very messed up over here about Rava. What does Rava hold? Because what we're dealing with here is essentially what is known as, and this Gavi already has written down, I think, in his Gavi. You know, it's time for you to publish the Gavi with Gavi. I want to make sure that all of this actually is happening, you know? So if you'll send me your Gavi list, I'll go over it and we'll publish it. Okay. So what is Rava hold? Does Rava hold that the deal of a matona amanat lahazir is called a matona technically or not? I mean, if he holds a matona amanat lahazir is called a matana, so it's as if you gave it over to him and then this is just like a tanai. So why aren't all of these things good? How about the sale on property? How about the kiddush? I mean, all of this, how about pidyon haben? It should be perfectly okay, no? And if he holds that matana manat lachzir is not called a matana, so then how does he say that this works for the truma? You never gave him the truma. Make up your mind. Since Rava says that it would work for the truma, except you're not allowed to do it because it's looks like on to say every bit of granot. So then how do you explain the fact that he says binogea mefer kedushin opinion aben? It's not good. Isn't that a contradiction? And another question. I mean, forget about it. It's a contradiction. It is definitely runs against Rava's own sheet. And we know what Rava holds. How do we know? From the dinim of Sukkot. Are you allowed to give someone your lulav and esrog that it should be his, needs to be his on that first day? It's going to be his, and he'll give it back to you so that you give it to him as a matona amanat lachzir. And Rava is the one who said that Rava di Omar Matana Amanat Lachzir Shma Matana when it comes to your Lulav and Esra. Di Omar Rava, Helach Etrogza Amanat Shetachzireli, if the guy took that Esra and uses it and gives it back to the man, he was Yotze. If he didn't give it back to the man, he wasn't Yotze. Now, I mean, that means that he is saying very clearly that even though I had to give it back and that was part of the deal of your giving me the Esra, it's perfectly okay. So then how do you understand what Rava said that it's not okay when it comes to Mecher or when it comes to Kiddushin? Is it a Matona or not? Ela Amar Rav Ashi, what you said in Rava's name was all messed up. It's not what Rava said. What Rava actually said was that in all cases except for a woman, Bekulo Koni Levar Mi Isha. Why is that? Because an Isha is not niknet b'chalifin. Remember, we had that back before. That since Isha, we had Machlokas Rashi and Tosis, why that's true. Is it because Isha b'pochas b'shava pruta lo mekanyan nafsha? Or is it because chalipa is b'pachas b'shavu pruta and isha b'pachas b'shavu pruta lo miknia, not miknia nafsha, which Tosfos prefers? So the idea is that since chalipa is something that is achieved b'pachas b'shavu pruta, it's not included in the din of isha where we need specifically to have a shavu pruta. Therefore, it's not included in the concept of natati kesev hasadeh kach mimeni. And therefore, since an isha is not niknes b'chalifin, so then the question over here is that this is the equivalent of chalifin. You're giving something and giving it back. Now, there's another girsa here which says, gezera shema yomru isha niknes b'chalifin. This is not really chalifin. Obviously, it's not really chalifin, as Tosfos points out. You cannot do chalifin with money, okay? It's impossible. You need to do chalifin with an object. So how can we call this chalifin? So it isn't really similar to chalifin at all. Not to mention the fact, says Tosfos, that actually, if you never give the chalifin back, it's perfectly okay. So why are we saying that this is a matana manasa hazer is even similar to chalifin? It's true, it's the minute to give it back, but it doesn't have to be given back. If you say, hey, I like this handkerchief, I think I'll keep it. It's fine. It doesn't destroy the chalifin at all. And you remember we had before the Chazon Ish, we spoke about it, said that the actual, the chafetz itself actually is transferred in chalifin. So therefore, Tosfos says, it is, and this is, remember, we've had this many times in the Tosfos. Tosfos' shita is that where the Rabbanon make a gezera that something might be confused with something that they don't want you to do, they can be oikar the kiddushin. Whoa. And remember, he's pretty loose with this. So Tosa says, the Rabbanan, since you said, Ariyama Kudeshat li kidat Moshevi Yisrael, and called him a Kaddish, Adaita the Rabbanan the Kaddish. So therefore, the Rabbanan Lamath King Kiddushin Minayt. This is another one of these cases, says Tosa. If somebody utilizes this matana manat lahatzir, since someone who sees that this is a good kiddushin will assume that it's the same thing as giving a handkerchief, giving me the handkerchief back, which is not a kosher kiddushin. So because of this, somebody will now go over to her and say, would you be my wife? And she accepts it. So people will think that when we say, it's ridiculous, she's married to the first guy, that would be true about chalifin. But it wouldn't be true about chalifin. And therefore, we would end up being matir neshes ish, and we would say that she's not married to the second guy? Uh-oh. So because of that, as in all such cases which does result, the Rabbanan were mafkia the kiddushin initially from him, so that, in effect, it's basically not going to work. Omle ravunam arbere de rav nachemi lo rav ashi, hochi amrinan mishmei de rova kava teir. That is exactly what was said by same thing that you said. Actually, that was exactly what was said by Rava. So therefore, we end up saying that even though matana manasa haksish ma matana, but in this case, it's not considered to be matana legabe kedushin specifically. Whew, okay, Rabosai, this brings us to a sad moment. Because after all, Mitzvah Shabbos is always a little bit sad. That's why we take the. I think the reason that we use the Sonim and everything is because Daf Yomi finishes, right? In no time at all after that. So people are very sad, so they need to have these good smells in order to keep them happy. But anyway, if it wasn't enough to make you happy, then let's look forward to meeting tomorrow morning. Maybe that will make you happy. And therefore, Yimei El Yeshua Si, Eftach Vela Evchad, is wonderful being with all of you. And may we be zeicha to meet again tomorrow morning. Shavua tov u'mevorach. You all.